going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, during our Wellness Wednesday conversation, we are talking about happiness. Are you happy? How do you know? And why are some people seemingly happier than others? Those are just a few of the many questions that we're going to talk about tonight. My guests are clinical psychologist Dr. Paulette Hubbard and Joseph Williams, a licensed therapist and mental health blogger. Give us a call if you have something to say about this. I'm sure a lot of people want to talk about happiness, whether or not they feel happy. Maybe they don't feel happy. They're wondering why some other people are always happy and they're haters. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, if you would like to talk about happiness. Dr. Hubbard and Joseph, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for having me also.
Okay, so let me get this out of the way. Dr. Hubbard, are you happy?
I'm very happy.
Okay, and Joseph, you're happy?
I am a gallant.
You really? Oh, my. Class is started. How do you define happiness, Dr. Hubbard?
Happiness is subjective, and it depends on what you want in life and what you want out of life, and those things that you aspire for. It tunes into what your passions are and what your goals are, and if you're able to live those passions and achieve those goals, are ways, different ways that you define happiness.
Now, Merriam-Webster defines it as a state of well-being and contentment, a pleasurable or satisfying experience, but Joseph, are some people seemingly happy all the time? Is that real?
I believe subjective presentation. Let's look at how we receive information today through social media, right? We can paint happiness. We can create happiness. As a mental health therapist, I kind of devised a list for myself that I actually will provide to you where it's certain areas in your life that you are okay and content with that you can kind of draw happiness from. One of which is that you pursue your passions consistently, despite you may be disappointed in some areas in your life, you still continue to pursue those passions. Another definitive happiness kind of indicator is how you respond to conflict, how you respond to it, be it you confront it or you just kind of respond in a way where you're running from it. I believe that happy people, they tend to have a willingness to want to change things or fix them as best as possible. I believe that happy people have a willingness to want to grow or accept things and then try to find a way to make them better if they are, you know, less than, if it's not helpful to them and helpful to their movement. I believe that a lot of happy people, they always looking to change and become better.
But I want to drill down to some foundational things as it relates to what appears to be happy, where you may have some people who are smiling all the time. Mm-hmm. They are laughing. Their mood appears to be one of happiness. And then you may have someone else who always has a poker face, who is always calm, but not appearing to have the same kind of happy demeanor. Can both of those people be happy?
Absolutely, yeah. They can.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, they can. And I think you hit the nail on the head when you said perception. It's about perception and how, not only how that individual is projecting what they're feeling, but also how we perceive that. You know, if I'm not having such a good day, or if I'm not having, I may see your mood, or, you know, you be having a stoic face, or whatever the case may be, as somebody that you may not be having a good day. So it's also, it's a give and take. It's a two-way communication in the way that we interpret and define happiness, and then how we perceive what's going on with that individual or those people.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. This is our Wellness Wednesday conversation. We're talking about happiness tonight. Are you happy? Are you not happy? How do you define it for yourself? Let's talk to Gina, calling from Hyattsville. Hey, Gina, what's on your mind?
Hi. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
It's an honor to comment on your show today. And the young lady is correct. Happiness is about perception in other people's eyes. They're going to judge you based on how they feel an expression should be expressed when you're happy. However, conditions should never make you happy. I think there's a such thing as joyful, just being joyful. The little things in life. The conditions should never control a person's happiness, because if that happens, you'll be living a roller coaster. You should be in a state of joyfulness, at peace, spiritually.
Mm-hmm. That may be the case, but, you know, we don't always start out on the planet as adults or have the intellectual capacity, as Gina just suggested, to be able to ingest what is the difference between what is joyful and, you know, we start off as babies a lot of times, and often those emotions are developing. Can a state of happiness be part of how you are socialized or raised?
Absolutely. I believe so. I believe...
Well, you have to look at her now. I'm asking you. I don't know. You look too happy with that question.
I'm trying to be impartial.
No, don't be impartial. Okay. This is not a conversation for you to be impartial. If you disagree with her, then she's going to have to deal with that.
Absolutely.
She's going to have to be happy with that.
Right. She's going to have to be right. I do agree that the way we're socialized plays a major part in that. You know, some people come from families that say, put your best foot forward. Don't let people see you sweat. You know, you're not supposed to ever see anybody see you upset, you know, just act as if you are, you know. So a lot of times those things can kind of shape the way a person manages themselves or manages the way they want their happiness to appear. So and then also that can be traumatizing to mm-hmm. people too, where they don't express their true feelings and they do hide behind those smiles or making things appear a certain way. So yes, I believe that it can be something that's instilled in you to be that way. Now, I came from a very spiritual family, a very pro-black, very spiritual family, where I was taught to work hard, smile in the process of it, but then also be proud of your failures and your accomplishments for the growth in them. Some people don't come from that dynamic. And so a lot of times we have to be able to, those people who say that they're not happy, what do they define as happiness? What will make you happy? Tell me what that is. What does that look like for you? If someone says, I'm not happy, as a therapist, I get that all the time. Like,
absolutely.
You know, I'm not in a happy place in my life. I'm not in a good place. So I'll say, what does a good place look like? I want you to define it. Usually with women, it's men. I just want a man. If I get in a relationship, I'm going to be happy with a man. And so a lot of times I'm always like, okay, so let's talk about what does that look like when you're with this man? Do you think this man will be willing to deal with you in this capacity? What does unhappiness look like to you? How are you when you're not in a good space? Mm-hmm. And so once you be able to put a label on what that is, what's her name? Maya Angelou said it best. Joy is brief, mm-hmm. you know, and so we can take that and apply that and say happiness is brief. We can have happy moments. I would like to ask people, even the callers, when was the last time you truly were happy?
Mm-hmm.
What was that happy moment in your life that will always be defining for you that you want to get back to?
But and I think it's important for you. You touched on something I think is very important, mm-hmm. and I work with my clients when they say they want to be happy. Sometimes they can't even explain what happy looks like.
Right.
So how do you get there when you don't know where you're going?
Yeah.
It's like you're getting in the car and just driving around and don't have a particular destination in place.
Right.
You're just riding around and hoping you get there.
Right.
So it's how do you define happiness? What's important to you? What are your passions? What are your drives? What are those things that will give you contentment and fulfillment and that state of well-being as Merriam-Webster defines it?
Yes.
That those things that for you, because what may work for you may not work for me.
Absolutely.
And so you have to be able to define that for yourself.
But culturally, and this is one of the things that that Joseph touched on briefly, you said you were raised in a spiritual family where you were told to kind of smile through things, but culturally, you know, Black men, for example, are not encouraged to smile. And I'm talking now.
Absolutely.
I'm talking post Jim Crow.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Let's be clear.
Mm-hmm.
Post Jim Crow, they're not necessarily encouraged to smile, but then Black women are often expected to smile when they're walking down the street. What is that about culturally for us as it relates to happiness?
Hmm. That's an interesting question.
That's a really good question, and I think that we can, that's huge. But, you know, when I was attending Howard University back in the day, I remember one of my professors mentioned Black male seasoning. And how do you season a Black man, or how Black men are seasoned?
By whom?
By society.
Okay.
By what's allowed culturally. When we think about music, when we think about images and iconography of Black men, the no smile, the hardcore, the misogyny, the this, the that, these are things that are being paid millions and billions of dollars that are being put out there, the life of, you know, of rapaciousness and greed and everything else. And so, you know, get rich, die trying, you know, those titles. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times that stern, hardcore thing. I read the other day on social media, a young lady wrote on Instagram, "I just want a man, not one of these Black boy joy dudes." And I guess the Black boy joy movement is Black men smiling and being happy about life.
Yeah, what you're talking about, it was called Cool Pose,
right?
Back in the day, and I think, and as I suggested in the question, that may be an issue for that seems to be an issue for men as to how they're socialized about being happy, what it looks like, and then women, on the other hand, are expected to look it. Whether they feel it or not.
We're supposed to be all end all. I mean, we are supposed to be everything to everybody. And so you can't be everything to everybody with a frown on your face. How do you do that? And so in order even to convey or perpetrate that, that perception, you have to keep a smile on your face. And so those mixed messages get sent in terms of what's really going on with you, and you being able to voice what's happening, as opposed to I'm supposed to be everything to everybody.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is our Wellness Wednesday conversation. We're talking about happiness. Are you happy? What does that mean to you? Cornelia, I believe it is, calling from St.
Right.
Michael's. Yes, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. What's going on?
I think to look at happiness is you just got to stop looking at what other people define as happiness and stop looking at what kind of pressure you get put under. You got to do this, you got to do that. You just have to be happy by accepting yourself the way you are. That's step number one. That's the way I feel. And then you have to pick a passion that you like and just try to do that in your life. Try to, you know, don't look at what other people define as happiness and what they are doing. Just mind your own business, do your thing, and enjoy your life the way you can. You don't have to reach for what other people might have, or what this person, how this person looks like, or put the pressure on you want to have, whatever. You
okay.
know, just try to love yourself.
Well, I think that's a good point right there, trying to love yourself. But and thank you so much for your phone call, is that possible in the voyeuristic social media society that we live in now? Because when everybody out there is living their best life and you're just trying to get beyond your worst, does that have a negative impact on how we feel about ourselves.
It can, and I like what the caller talked about. I call that being that authentic you.
Yeah.
And how do you become that authentic you? And social media definitely can have a negative impact on that, especially if you're already experiencing mental health challenges, mm-hmm. and then you get on social media and you see these other people that are living a life, or at least they're portraying that they're living a life that you want to live, or they're living their best life. That's, and you're not living that life, or you start to compare yourself to other people and what may be happening with those people. And remember, there are a lot of times people are wearing masks, so you comparing yourself to someone else may not be the real authentic them. And so now you're caught in this down spiral of depression and low self-esteem because you're following things on social media that may not actually be authentic.
Right.
Let me go to Rose, calling from Virginia. Rose, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, happiness, the subject is what you're talking about. Well, happiness to me is what was already been said. First of all, it's the cultural. If you come from a different culture than the Western culture, happiness is not defined the same way as, you know, Americans or Europeans define them. So it depends on your background, where you come from, how you were raised. So many other cultures don't even have the word happiness. So that's one thing for me. And the other thing is just finding where you are. And like she said, if you didn't have a goal, if you didn't have an objective, if you didn't have a way, a place to get to, how do you know the state of well-being? So that's my definition, is accepting oneself, knowing the goals and objectives of your life, and then getting there. And then accepting in the process, sometimes you may not get there in the way you planned it.
Thank you for that, Rosa. I appreciate it. We're going to talk about getting to happiness in just a little bit. Let me try to slip one more in. Can we get Gerard to talk to us? Calling from North Carolina. Quickly, Gerard, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I believe happiness is, well, actually everybody's always happy. It's just, we have the highs and lows of when you're happy. Because the thing about it is, if you're always at the top, you'll be brought down emotionally. So there has to be a point where there's a line, and then things happen in life that makes you at a different level of happiness.
Okay.
Because if you was not happy, if you was never happy, you'd always be depressed. So you have to have a base somewhere to start.
And you know what? I hope that you are able to listen to the second half of this program after the break, because I am going to challenge you on that, Gerard. I don't think that everybody is happy, as a matter of fact. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why we have a mental health crisis in this country. But please, definitely stay with us. We're going to take a break in just a bit, but the number is 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Are you happy? How do you feel about that? That's an interesting question. How do you feel about being happy? Real quick, before I go to a break, Joseph, how can people find you online?
You can look me up as Joseph Williams, the Misunderstood Social Worker.
The Misunderstood.
On Facebook.
Social worker. I like that. And Dr. Hubbard?
I am Dr. Paulette Hubbard, and Hubbard is H-U-B-B-E-R-T on Facebook, and I'm also, my website is www.paulettehubbard.com.
Thank you so much. We're going to take a break, but stay with us. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Crystal, calling from Landover, you're next, and we're going to continue to take phone calls even after the break. Again, at 202-319-7810. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Angela Stribling is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM in just a few seconds.
Because I'm happy.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we are talking about happiness on this Wellness Wednesday. My guests are clinical psychologist Dr. Paulette Hubbard and Joseph Williams, a licensed therapist and mental health blogger. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before the break, we were talking to Gerard, and he said he thinks everybody is happy, and I think that's a happy way to think. But I also think that's inaccurate, because we have a, some would argue, a crisis of depression as it relates to mental health in this country. And Gerard says there may be a starting point, but his happy may be way up here. Someone else is happy, if they get to it at all, maybe way down here. Are there some people who just are never happy, or their expectations about happy, being happy, are different?
I believe that our expectations of happiness can oftentimes make us unhappy, because we are looking for a certain tickler or baseline, which we consider will lead us there. And then a lot of times, just in the practice that I, and most of my therapeutic practice, a lot of it has been chasing this feeling that they believe exists that they're still trying to define for themselves. I believe that as a therapist and as a clinical person, we oftentimes have to experience both spaces in order to be able to understand how to honor happiness, how to embrace it, but then also how to recognize that things are not always going to be at a high moment for ourselves. I did hear Gerard say something like that, something about being high and being low. I think that the bigger issue is that a lot of us, we, like we said before, we have not defined what that looks like. Or we're using items or things. Once I get this money, once I get this house, once I get this, it's going to make me happy. And then a lot of times we haven't found within ourselves where we are, what will make us feel better about ourselves. The number one in happiness is self-acceptance. Where are you with self? Where are you with how you feel about you, how you feel about your circumstances? Number one is finding something that makes you feel good, finding something that makes you feel passionate, an idea or a dream that you have for yourself that's going to make you keep going, things that you can wake up and try to think to live for. And I think a lot of us were struggling in that because we're getting shown examples of what happiness is. Having a car, having a man, having this is going to make me, this is happiness. Money, this is happiness. Yeah.
And that's what I call chasing the high.
Yeah.
When you're not, internally, you're not seeking self-satisfaction and acceptance, and you think the car, the house, the money, the man, the woman, the, all of those things will mm-hmm. make you happy, you're just bringing extra baggage to the situation. Ooh. As opposed to stopping it and, again, being that authentic you. And who are you, and what is it that those things that you want in life, what will make you content? And I've already said that before. What are your passions? Mm-hmm. I heard someone say find a passion, but I think you're born, my belief is that you're born with those passions. What is that one thing that you're always thinking about, that you've always wanted to do, that yeah. you've always wanted to be a part of? That's where you find your passion. And then once you're able to follow that passion, but also want to talk about when we're not able to find that passion, is it possible to be content in the midst of chaos and confusion that's going on? Because how do you do that when nothing seems to be going right?
And how does and one person may be considered another person's happy. If somebody says,
absolutely.
Well, are you happy? No, I'm content, and I'm content being content. You know, if on that scale of 1 to 100, where 100 is happy and 1 is depressed, some people like to just keep it at 50.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that may be their own happiness. Now, we've been speaking about individuals, but this is something that I wanted to bring up, and I find it curious because this is the happiness survey, and it says that Americans are the most unhappy they've been in years when they were this. This is a survey of 52 countries, and the top 10, with the exception of Canada, Austria, and New Zealand, are all Western European nations: Finland, Denmark, Norway, Iceland, Netherlands, Switzerland, Sweden. I don't know what that's about. But it almost it's like, okay, you know, if you're white and European, so you're happy. I don't know. That may be another show. But but the United States is 19th, and you know, surrounded, you know, Belgium 18th and the Czech Republic 20th, and so collectively, it seems that you know these Western European countries they're just happy. I don't. But what's wrong with us? Are Americans with all of our wealth and influence, is that just too much pressure for us?
The American dream, and what happens when you can't achieve the American dream? What is the American dream? You know, is the American dream, is your dream the same as what society says the American dream is, or what it should be, and how society defines success can also play a role in how you feel about yourself and how you define happiness.
Mm-hmm. Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Crystal calling from Landover. Hey, Crystal, what's on your mind?
I just feel like happiness is within. You have to be happy with yourself first before you can, you know, be happy with other things. So it starts within first.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Danielle calling from Landover. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I just first want to say this is something I'm really passionate about. And I've been running events for Window Color Stuff Up events. And during that, I've learned that, just in my own personal growth, that happiness really is about stripping away everyone's expectations of yourself and your own. Meaning, like, you know, if you grew up in a Black Christian family, which I did, you know, and it's like you have to be married by this age, you have to have this life. When you are ready to walk away from all those expectations and really just decide what, you know, I want to do what feels good and feels right for me, I think you're truly walking in happiness. And I think it's also a journey. I think that, you know, having things is not happiness. Having things is just things. But really being able to say, I'm going to walk in my artistry, I'm going to walk in, you know, whatever it is that you feel like is a part of who you are. I think that really saying I get to be who I am without apology is happiness.
Okay.
Saying that I don't want to check a box, I don't want to live the life you think I should live.
Well, there you go. I think you make an excellent point, which I think it brings me to this next issue of getting to yourself. She just spoke about not checking a box. In this country, there are so many boxes that individuals may be hesitant to check that others expect you to check: gay, straight, married, single, Black, white, rich, poor, tall, short, sexy, not sexy. So how do you find yourself when you, and this is for both of you, but Dr. Herbert, I'll start with you. When you are talking to your clients who are struggling with depression, and how do you help them move beyond that if you've discovered that this is perhaps not a chemical imbalance, they just can't seem to get to happy?
Mm-hmm. That's a broad question because it depends on what's going on with the client, you know, and what's in their background. Because we always do an assessment to determine mm-hmm. if there's abuse in the background that hasn't been resolved. Is low self-esteem playing a role? You know, all of those things have to be taken into consideration. But we start with, the clients, I have them do a gratitude list. What are you grateful for? Gratitude has been shown to lift the spirit in ways that other things haven't been able to. And then what do you do after you make your gratitude? What are your strengths? What are you good at? Everybody's good at something. And if you don't know, ask somebody. There's something about you. And then what is it that people, if you don't like yourself, what do other people like about you? Because there's something about you. If you have a friend, if you have somebody that loves you, then you're lovable. And so what are those things that people love about you? What are those things that people like about you? And I'm back to, if you don't know, then ask somebody. Those are the ways that I start to help them to feel better about themselves and then move them in a direction of maintaining and continuing to grow and to build on that.
Your thoughts about that, Joseph?
So there's levels to depression.
Absolutely.
And there's different types
Absolutely.
Of depression. And sometimes I don't like to simplify depression, but if I was to simplify it as a therapist, depression is a result of thoughts which are causing you to behave a certain way or causing you to think, believe, and behave a certain way. And it's usually your thoughts, perceptions, and ideas about something that may have happened to you, something that you may be thinking about from the past, or something that has currently happened. And I believe that once we kind of unpack the type of depression the person is dealing with, then we can get to the meat of the problem. And usually depression kind of covers as a sore on top of other things that may have happened, which causes them to kind of slip into a place.
But is every person who is not happy depressed?
Not necessarily.
So what's the difference between depression and not being happy?
Wow. I'm going to let you answer that. Mm-hmm.
And let me add real quick that depression can also be repressed anger.
Yes.
So. That's why I said that's a very broad question in terms of how I would proceed with a client, because it just depends on what's going on with them. Yeah. What was your question?
My question is, how can, if you're not happy, does that mean that you're depressed? And is there a difference between depression and not being happy?
Yes, there is a huge difference between depression. Depression can get to the point, like he already said, it can be, there's different levels of depression, but depression can be debilitating. It can get to that point where it's debilitating and to the point where an individual talks about suicide and talks about taking their life. But even before they get to that, there's a difference between being sad and being depressed. Depression, some of the symptoms, you're always irritable. It's hard for you to get out of bed in the morning. You don't look forward. Yeah, lack of motivation. You don't look forward to getting up in the morning. When you wake up in the morning, you're like, mm-hmm. I lived another day.
Yeah, so you cannot be happy. You may not be sad or angry. You're just like, I'm cool. I'm just not happy today, but I'm not unhappy.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Right, absolutely.
And that's part of the beautiful human experience. You know, I can say that I'm not happy with the conditions of my home, or I'm just not happy with my job right now. I'm not happy with my financial situation, which oftentimes makes me feel like I can't do a lot of things. What can I do to encourage myself to get out here and do something different? So now somebody, you can take that same scenario and a person slips where they just lose all motivation.
They're hopeless.
It's keeping them up at night or making them sleep longer. Mm-hmm. It's causing them to lose their appetite. So you can be in a space where you go, you know what? I'm just not happy with myself right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm okay, though. I'm not committed. I'm not thinking of suicide. I don't want to hurt anybody. I'm not irritable. I'm just not in a good place right now.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Winston calling from D.C. What's on your mind?
Thank you all for taking my call, panel.
Sure.
My question is about what do you, if any, impact do you think post-traumatic stress disorder, both in utero and throughout the various life stages, in particular for the Black community that is underserved and underprivileged, has on their ability to find happiness.
Wow. Do you want to take that? I can take it.
Go ahead.
Okay. So post-traumatic stress disorder on the black community. Ooh. So a lot of times...
That's a whole show by
itself.
That's
a whole show,
that's a show by itself.
And Winston, I think you may have to describe or define post-traumatic stress on the black community. Post-traumatic stress from what? Interaction with police, slavery, the broken
that,
home.
All of that. Particularly for communities that are underserved, they don't have resources.
Okay.
Starting in utero with black women not being able to get adequate health care, mm-hmm. the disparity in treatment in that area.
And yet there are black people who go through that, and yet they are still happy.
That's true. That's true. But I find that there seems to be an interesting percentage of people in those communities that are really challenged with finding real happiness. We were talking about the American dream. A lot of those persons are not able to realize the American dream as we think of it, those of us who are in upper middle class or upper class. And yes, some do find happiness, but I'm just finding, I live in one of those communities. I live in Southeast D.C. in the Anacostia area, and I'm just seeing people on a daily basis that just don't seem to find happiness in anything, not even in the things that I find happiness. I can find it in a bird singing or a beautiful flower in the middle of a field, but I'm just trying to understand. And I know you said it's going to take a whole show.
No, but I think that You make an interesting point. For example, mm-hmm. you said you live in that community, and you said, but you can find happiness in the chirping of a bird or the beauty of a field. So you are in it, but not of it. Why? If you are in it, but not of it, why? What is your source of happiness?
If I was to go there, I think we need to consider everyone's resilience.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We have
because, like you said, mm-hmm. everything, the same thing impacts different people different ways.
Different ways. And I believe that a lot of times, you know, we can look at communities in every major city across mm-hmm. this country, and we can say that, you know, some of these cities are, you know, some of these places, it look like a nightmare that someone's written. But then ultimately, I think that we have to always consider the level of resilience that mm-hmm. some of the people have in these communities and their connections with churches and other family members. I live in the community here in D.C., and I work in the community at Life Enhancement Services, right there in the community where we have a lot of people that come for individualized therapy and groups. And as much as we can perceive someone like, oh, you know, they don't just, you know, it's the community and the dynamics in the community. But when you really break down and get to know these particular consumers, a lot of them may be just in normalized kind of depressive states, or some people may suffer post-traumatic stress based on trauma mm-hmm. that may have happened to them like any of us. But they're no different in functioning than the average person who may be upper middle class or lower middle class. Depression, post-traumatic stress, unspecified mood disorders, all of those things affect people differently, but it's the same level of presentation.
Yes.
If you think about it, it doesn't restrict itself to a horrible dynamic in a particular community.
And let me mm-hmm. add on to this, Dr. Hubbard, and this is also for Winston. Just yesterday, we did a show on poverty in the District of Columbia mm-hmm. that, for the most part, has not changed, specifically as it relates to children, in 30 years, where it was most concentrated east of the river. If you add that dynamic into this conversation, you still have the Winstons of the world who may, depending on who they're talking to or their situation, he may find happiness within, you know, the cultural parameters of where he is. But then when he's talking to, you know, someone at city government about why can't I get this tree removed, well, then there's going to be some anger, there's going to be some disappointment, there's going to be some kinds of frustration. And so sometimes that happiness may only be demonstrated within a certain level of comfort.
Mm-hmm. And it makes sense. And everybody doesn't even aspire to, I want to go back to a comment he made about the American dream. Everybody doesn't aspire to achieve American dream. It's about being content and having that, being in that state of well-being, regardless of the environment you're in. I grew up poor, poor in a poor neighborhood, and I can name numerous times that I was happy, and that I was happy with my family, and my family was happy, and we got together and we had a good time. So I don't believe that that necessarily defines you living the American dream necessarily defines, or the state of, or the condition that you're living in necessarily defines you being happy and how you define that. So it goes back to what we've been saying all along. It's about how you define it and what you determine is happy for you.
Mm-hmm. Winston, thank you so much for your phone call, and please stay happy. I want to go back to the phone lines. Rena calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Rena. What's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to put out there that what my thoughts were on happiness. So I believe that happiness is in all of us, but it lies dormant, and on occasion we do let it out. And when we are willing to be real with ourselves, I think that what hides our happiness is when we open ourselves to outside influences, those who challenge who we are, who we really are. I think that it is just normal to have your family, friends, social norm tell you, don't be this way, don't be that way. And you basically find yourself being a thousand things for a thousand people, trying to make other people happy, but yet your own happiness is questioned. And I think that if people can just take that moment to really tap into what they want, how they feel, and not have one thought about how this would affect that person, how it'll affect that person. Think about if you could just be exactly who you want to be, how would it affect you to let that out? And of course, when you make that decision, you will get adversity. You will get challenges. But instead, you will be willing to face those challenges and tell people, this is who I am. And for those who accept that, keep that person in your life. That's also what that person can add to your life. Keep the others who challenge that and keep telling you to change. Avoid them. I think it's also about who you keep in your life as well.
But hold on. And Rena, let me stop you there, because you just brought up a really great point. As they say, you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. Mm-hmm. And I know everybody's talking about there's some members of your family that you can love from a distance. Okay, that notwithstanding, but I would challenge that. Over the course of a lifetime, we've had friends or associates, and we've gone to some homes of our friends, and you thought that somebody died every day that you were there, because no one is smiling, no one is happy, everyone seems, and I'm talking about not individuals, but I'm talking about the family as a whole. Mm-hmm. The mood is dim, it is dark, and then you may go to another friend's house or another part of your family or someone that you associate with, and everybody is up, everybody is joyful, they are friendly, they are warm. Is that the insular culture of a household for some? I've seen it. You know, I've seen it with girlfriends. You know, you say, well, I'm not gonna marry her. because you don't want to have that kind of darkness, that cloud in your life, and then you go to the next friend's house, like, oh, everybody's happy. I want to be a part of this family. What's going on there?
I think she made a great point about being selective about who you allow in your life and who you allow in your circle. My friends and family know I don't do drama. I deal with drama all day long. I don't do drama outside of. I mean, and don't get me wrong. That life happens and circumstances happen and things happen that I have to deal with. But constant chaos and confusion. I limit that, and I'm very particular and selective about who I allow in my inner circle, and making sure that they're empowering and uplifting, and that we uplift each other.
Mm-hmm. You can always judge a person's spirit based on the level of drama that they link themselves to, be it directly or indirectly, or what they are available to. you can see, you can kind of gauge where they are. I'm not sure, Dr. Hubbard, with your clients, I can always gauge where my clients are based on the type of items that they bring to therapy with them. Like, oh, my girlfriend told me this, and this happened, and it was a fight here.
But to that point, but that makes that client happy. And here's a better example because I remember many years ago when I was working in television, when we had a good show that went smoothly, I had a producer who was never happy, and he was only happy
when there was chaos
and confusion, and from the talent to the anchors, the reporters, when everyone seem to be on edge. And so this goes back to not everybody's happy is the same thing, and I agree, and
some people do thrive on chaos, and they'll create chaos where chaos doesn't exist.
I always say it myself with most of my consumers and the clients that I service, those people who enjoy you know, the whole term in pop culture, I'm reading you to read people, that usually comes from a place of pain.
Absolutely.
And so sometimes people tend to link themselves, or they can find enthrallment in drama or happiness in conflict and chaos.
Because you do what you know.
You do what you know until you know better.
And so those people that thrive in that chaos, I agree, nine times out of ten, they're not happy with themselves. What they don't realize is because that's their comfort zone.
Yeah.
And when it's your comfort zone, you operate in that until it's challenged. And so when I get people in my office that are sitting in front of me and I start to challenge that, sometimes they even leave and don't come back because they don't. They don't know how to operate outside of that.
Because they may not be comfortable with another form
of
happiness. Rena, thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Rena.
I've got a couple of minutes left, but I'll start with you, Joseph. Your final thoughts about happiness.
My final thoughts about happiness. I didn't think about them. I'm joking, being funny. I think that
you're just being happy.
Just being happy.
My final thoughts about happiness is this. I think we all have to define what that is for ourselves. And if you find yourself struggling with not being happy and being in a dark place, I want you to gauge, when was the last time you really felt good? And what was that caused you to feel that way? And when did it pick up, when that changed? And if you can't see any light outside of that, I think it's always important to go sit down and talk with someone, to have a conversation, or at least unpack it. It doesn't mean that you need to be in lifelong therapy. It just means that you probably need to open up. If you're finding yourself in an isolative, dark, irritable place where you're questioning yourself and the people around you, it's okay to talk to people. Understand that you deserve happiness. You are beautiful. You are amazing. And anything in this world that's offered to you, it's yours. You just have to want it. But and do what you got to do to get it.
And speaking of talking to people and resources, as always, we will have information about our guests as well as other resources regarding depression, suicide prevention, and the like. Those resources will be on our website on WHUR.com after 8:30 tonight. Dr. Hubbard, your last word.
I agree with you so wholeheartedly in terms of being that knowing what you want and defining a goal, because like I said earlier, if you don't know what happiness looks like, and unfortunately I've had clients that tell me they don't remember a time that they were happy.
Yeah.
So how do you find that feeling? Laugh therapy is always a way to give you an introduction to or when you're feeling that way to use laughter as.
You mean like going to a comedy show,
putting on a funny movie, putting on music. What are those things that make you feel good when you're doing them? Exercising. Some people like to exercise. Whatever that activity is that will bring you joy, that's where you start.
I'm going to see if my health insurance covers comedy shows.
There you go. I like that. Maybe we should sign, start a petition.
Yeah, can you? My doctor prescribed
laugh therapy.
Go see D.L. Hughley.
There you go.
Come on.
It's part of your treatment plan. Laugh therapy.
That's right. I'm afraid of the copay on that rascal. Yes, yes, yes. Oh my gosh. Dr. Paula and Herbert, Joseph Williams, thank you so much for talking to us. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
That is the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Thursday, June 26th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.
Howard University Radio.